You may be seated. Hey, we are so excited to be with you here for the first week of part two of The End. And I am so excited to have Stacy here. You're going to love her. Like, you're going to get to know her in this 40 minutes, and you are going to fall in love with her. I already love her. And to get us back on track, we want to recap. So we want to, this whole study, part one and part two, we're looking at the end, at Revelation, but we're looking at choices. I know some of you have the t-shirt on, you know, choose life. We're looking at choices, and ultimately, we're asking the question, what time is it? And so we're using two Bible verses, which you just soaped, to kind of structure what we're doing, to kind of be the theme verses for what we're doing. And so we're going to look at those just a little bit more closely. I know you just soaped them, but we're going to get some context here. So Stacy, can you kind of give us some context for Deuteronomy 30, verse 19? What's going on?
Absolutely. So I think that any time that you're kind of diving into Scripture, you have to know kind of what's going on, right? The setting, who is your audience, those kind of things. And so we see in Deuteronomy, here's what happening is God is talking to the Israelites. They're standing on the edge of the promised land, and he begins to lay two choices in front of them. And he says you can choose life or you can choose death, and that there are going to be consequences for those, because life is going to be eternal life with me, and death will be hell. And you have those choices laid before you. And it's about, really, he was asking the Israelites this same question, was, will you choose to obey me, or will you choose to disobey me? Because that's what it's really, that's this choice about life and this choice about death. And so this is what happens there in this moment. And God says, listen, you can choose to reject me or accept me. But those are going to be your two choices. And although the terms of this covenant, right, we see in the Old Testament, and so sometimes you can look in the Old Testament and go, well, does this really transfer over to the New Testament? Like, what was that just for the Old Testament, or was that just for a covenant? But we see that the New Testament actually brings this same concept of two choices. And the first one we see, and you're going to recognize this, is in Romans 6:23, because it tells us that the wages of sin is what? It's death. And then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see the two choices right there? And then we see this again in John 3:18. It says, those who accept Christ by faith will experience eternal life and blessing. Then they add blessing onto that, which is just like in Deuteronomy, because it talks about being blessed or being cursed. You're choosing life, you're choosing death. You're choosing blessing, or you're choosing cursed. And then it says, while those who reject him will experience eternal death and destruction. So there was a very, very clear choice here with consequences. And the choice is life or death.
Wow. So I want to look at that next verse, that 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah is speaking to the people, and he, like, challenges them. He says, how much longer will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And, you know, I've kind of been sitting with this verse all day long, you guys. It just grabbed me. And Deuteronomy 30 is before they go into the promised land. So before they get out in the world, but you know what? We live in the world. 1 Kings 18 is after they get out in the world. And we find them here. Many of them are following other gods. They're going after other gods. Baal is the chief one. And the thing is, Elijah's getting ready to do a showdown between God and Baal, basically on Mount Carmel. There's like 450 prophets of Baal, and then there's Elijah, a prophet of God. So, but you've got Baal, and you've got God. But the thing that's grabbing me with this scripture today is this. If the Lord is God, follow him. And basically, on Mount Carmel, God proves himself. I am God. And the fire comes down from heaven. God answers. And when he does, the people fall to the ground. And they say, the Lord, he is God.
Amen.
And that is what we need to settle. If we settle that, that's our choice. So we need to know. We need to know. We need to know that he is God. So we're in this study, and we're looking at choices, and we're really saying, like, there's two choices. But if you look at the world today, people are all over the map with what they believe, what they say, what they think. How are we narrowing it to two choices?
It's hard today in this world, isn't it, right? We live just exactly like you said, in a world of choices, where the world and society and our culture tells us, well, you can choose. Just think about the last time you went into a fast food restaurant, right? Has anybody been to Subway lately? First of all, I hate going to Subway because they're just like, do you want this? It's all about choices. And what do you want? What makes you happy? What fulfills you? Do you see what I'm saying? Because the enemy, he wants you to think that you have more than two choices. That's really what he desires. But we hear from God's scripture that there is two. There is only two choices, that there is no gray area. You have to be really clear of that. The Bible says, choose life or choose death, and there's nothing in between. So let's look at this scripture in Matthew 6:24, and it says very clearly this: no one can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We see here that in Matthew, that just like stated in Deuteronomy, there's two choices. But Matthew brings in this concept of money. And you can ask yourself, why? Why did he bring that in? Because I think that what he was trying to say is, listen, what you're going to find is that, right, that you're not going to just, people aren't going around going, I want to serve the devil. Like, that is so amazing. Like, I want to serve Satan. Like, I choose death. I choose death. That's not what the world is going around saying. But what's happening is the enemy is giving them other choices. So they're seeking other things in their life. So we have this thing of money being brought to us, right? To let us know that what happens is we just think if we had enough of this, if we just had enough of that, if we could just do this and just do that, then I would be fulfilled, then I would be full, then I would quit seeking. And we know that that is not the truth.
Yeah.
Because isn't it just like the enemy to give us more choices to keep us distracted from the one choice that we need to make? We make choices about success and social status, right? We want financial freedom. The world tells us be happy in the moment, right? Feel good about yourself. Do whatever makes you feel good. And what about reputation and power and relationships with the opposite sex? All these things we think, if I just had enough, if I just had the right one. And the list goes on because the enemy can get you believing that. In Matthew 6:33, it says this, but seek first his kingdom, and all these things are going to be added to you. Verses say they're given to you. But the first thing it says this, seek his kingdom first.
Yes.
That's choosing life.
Yes.
That's what that means. So here's the thing, ladies. You're seeking something. We're all seeking something. And so sometimes you may go, well, how do I even get to that? How do I know what I'm seeking? Let me just tell you a couple of indicators. Start looking at what runs through your mind, what runs through your heart. What are the things that you are going after, that you're spending your time with, that you're giving thoughts to, that you find yourself wanting, that you put your finances to? But the biggest thing that you can do is this, is you take your heart, right, and you put it in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you say, is there anything? Is there anything that's becoming a master in my life? Is there anything, God, that I am just seeking more than I am seeking you? Because if you don't do that, the enemy sneaks in with things that the world tell us will make us happy, and you will find yourself seeking that first over him.
Yeah. So really tonight and the next 5 weeks, we're really looking at who will you worship? So tonight we're laying before you the choice to be sealed with Holy Spirit or marked by the beast. We want you to understand these two choices really well. And we're going to start with sealed by the Spirit because everything begins with God. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all there at creation. John 1:3 says, nothing is created apart from Jesus. So here we go. Your first blank, being sealed by the Holy Spirit is a holy alliance. So what does that mean to be sealed?
Well, here we have our verse in Ephesians 1:13-14. And this is what it says. When you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So we have to ask ourselves really two questions before we go any further. And it is, what is a seal? What does that mean? And how do I receive it? So all throughout Scripture in the Old Testament, it more so than in the New Testament, you see God will put his seal upon his people. And that will be for a specific reason, a specific purpose, whether it was protection or provision or those kind of things. So we can gather, when God talked about putting a seal upon his people, we can come up with a biblical meaning of what that means. And that seal communicates ownership, protection, and a validation of the relationship, okay? That's very important that you get the validation of the relationship, that when we have the seal of God upon us, that communicates that our relationship with God is authentic. But here in Ephesians 1, we see that the seal is not a what. The seal is a who. It is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is our seal. That is the Christian seal for his people. So let's look at again at these verses in Ephesians, but I'm going to use a couple of different versions. I think it's always good because sometimes you can pull out a word or two that looks a little bit different, that means the same thing, that you can go, oh, I have a little bit better understanding of that now. So in the NIV, it's going to tell us, well, then how do we get that seal? If that's what the seal is, then how do we get that? In the NIV in verse 14, it says, when you believed. That's very specific, that this becomes the prerequisite to obtaining the seal, the promised seal of the Holy Spirit. The voice says it this way. It says, because you have heard the word of the truth and because you believed in the one who is truth, your lives are marked with this seal. So it starts first with us believing. But when we've heard the truth and we've believed in the one that is the truth, we take his truth as our truth. Do you see that? That's what we do when we believe him. We take his truth as our truth, and we accept him into our heart and his truth as our own. And what happens is then when that happens and we not only believe him, but we accept him, then we are given the promised seal of the Holy Spirit. And he comes to indwell in us to take up right residence in our life as a believer. Look at again in the NIV says this, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You're going to see these words. You're going to hear words like guaranteeing. You're going to hear words like inheritance as we talk about this, because this is talking about something is deposited in us. So here's where it's the authentication of the relationship, right? Because the experience of the Holy Spirit in the believer is proof to you that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, because you have put your faith and your trust and accepted Christ as your Savior. This is a demonstration not only to you, but to others, that you've put your faith in Christ. And the Holy Spirit, what he does is he provides us this inward assurance that we are sealed, that we have chosen life. That is the choice we have made. And what happens is then that you and I get, we're his children. Listen, in Romans 8:15-16, it talks about the spirit of adoption as sons. This is going to speak to the sonship when you make a holy alliance with God by choosing life. That's what it calls you. And it talks about that the spirit, right, is placed inside of us and into our hearts. It also says in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, I mean, we can put in their daughters, right? We're going to put that in there. Because we are your daughter, because I am your daughter, that what has happened is he has sent his spirit to be in our hearts. And there is a sonship that we have when we are in a holy alliance. So this authenticates the reality of this relationship by making us more like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He works in us to make us more like Jesus. That right there is you saying, that's proof. I am sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit because my relationship is authenticated by who the Holy Spirit is in my life.
You know, I think about this. You know, every time we have a truth from God or a scripture, I think, okay, what's my part and what's his part? And, you know, sometimes it's just to walk it out and to draw on it. But I thought, how has this lived out in your life? I thought, I was asking these questions. How do our children and grandchildren, do they hear God's words coming out of our mouths more than the world's words? Like, do they hear that? And do they see us spending more time in the Word or time in the Word? Like, do they see it? Like, I know they see us on our phones. Like, I know they do that. But do they see us in his word, speaking his word? And this is one of the things that gets me, is do they hear from us anxiety? I ask myself this, you guys. Anger, fear, uncertainty. And what about others, like the people that work with us and our family members? So, you know, we don't have to live anxious. We don't. That's not our guarantee. That's not our gift. That's not the fruit of living this life. So I want to live what he's called us to live.
So then we're going to go to that second blank. And the second blank is being sealed by the Holy Spirit is evidence of God's protection and plan. So we have a holy alliance, and now we have protection and plan. So if you look again in the New Living Translation, it says the Spirit is God's guarantee. Hear that word again? We see that word of a guarantee, and we hear us that will give us the inheritance that God has promised. The Message says it this way. This down payment from God is the first installment of what's coming. It's a reminder, okay? A reminder that we will get everything that God has planned. Let's be sure of this. God has a plan. You may not see it. Others may doubt it. You may go, how do you have a plan in the chaos and the mess and the perversion that we are living in today? But I can guarantee you this. God has a plan, and his plan will go forward.
Amen.
It will go forward. And we see here that God, right, because we have been included in this, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, now he says, you're part of that plan. Amen. I've got a plan, and you're part of the plan. And I love what it talks about. So our inheritance. So it says here that we are guaranteed protection and part of his plan until our inheritance. What is our inheritance? Our inheritance is eternal life. So here's what that means. That means all of this stuff in between, right? We haven't got our inheritance yet. So God still says, I'm still protecting you. You're under my hand. You're under my umbrella of protection. You're going to be all right.
Amen.
It's going to be okay. And I'm still in control. And I will not give up control, and I'm still there. So do you see how the scriptures tell us, till the very end?
Yes.
God is not setting up there in heaven going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Like, they are going crazy down there. Like, the perversion, they're running wild, and what is happening, and what are we going to do? I'm telling you, God is up there, and Jesus is sitting there, and he's saying, you tell me when to go, and I will go.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
That's exactly what is happening, because God says, I've got a plan. Okay, I kept talking. I got to keep going. Woo! All right. All of a sudden, I'm going to like start going off over here. Okay, you got to keep me in check, girl. All right. So being sealed by the Holy Spirit then shows who we are, that we're linked with him. But let's ask ourselves, what happens to the church before the tribulation?
So we believe the rapture. We believe that we are going to be caught up together with him in the air. He's going to take us for our reward. He's going to take us for the wedding supper of the Lamb before the Lamb breaks the seals that begin judgment. And listen to the plan. Listen to this. Ephesians 1:10 says this, when the time is ripe, he will gather us all together from wherever we are, in heaven or on earth, to be with him in Christ forever.
Amen. So then we're going to go to that third thing. And the third one is this, being sealed by the Holy Spirit is your enabling. So that is that blank is enabling. And we are going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22. And here we hear this same verbiage. It is God who enables us along with you to stand for Christ. We see here some things he said. He's commissioned us. He's identified us. And then we hear that verbiage again. The first installment of the guarantee is you and I being sealed by the Holy Spirit. But it talks about that word enabling. And what does that mean? To enable someone is to give them authority to do something. Listen to that. That's just what this scripture is saying. Right in the beginning, God says, I've enabled you. And it says enabled you to what? To stand firm.
Amen.
That no matter what happens around you, no matter what you're hearing, no matter what you're seeing on TV, no matter what it is, that I've enabled you, I've given you the authority to stand firm. And so we see this wording here, and it's speaking of that protection. And God has already prepared you for this. That's what it says, is God's already prepared you for it. Do you see that it's not only in the beginning where you choose life or death, it's choices all along the way.
Yes.
Do you see that? Because then God says, listen, I've prepared you for it, and it's there, but it's your choice if you're going to take a hold of it.
Yeah.
Will you take the authority? Will you take the authority that I have given you by the power of my Holy Spirit living inside of you? Because you had chosen that and you've done that. Because when we do that, here's what we do. We choose security over fear. We choose joy over depression. How about this? We choose to rest in his ultimate control instead of letting media, others, and the Facebook. Oh, I just said the Facebook. My kids always make fun of me because I call it the Facebook. They're like, you've got a problem, Mom. So anyway, we're not going to tell them I said that, I just said Facebook. But what happens is because it waters down the truth of God.
Yes.
And we are going to stand firm.
Yes. Amen. So we're getting to the last blank, guys. It says, when you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, your eternal destination is the new heavens and new earth. And I was sitting in church and the Lord said, the journey is short, but the destination is forever. Like forever. Right. The journey is hard, yes, but he's with us every step of the way, and the destination is good.
Amen.
Very good. So let's look at the scripture from the last chapter of the last book of our Bibles. Revelation 22 tells us about the new heavens and the new earth. You got to have that as what you're looking towards. That's what you're going for, girls. No longer will there be a curse upon anything. For the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants, we, will worship him. And we will see his face, and his name will be written on our foreheads. Yes. So now we're going to switch gears. What if you choose to worship anything or anyone other than God? We want you to know up front, Satan is a deceiver. We want your eyes wide open to what's happening. You are making eternal choices. This is forever and ever choices. So here we go.
So now we're going to see those things that we just talked about with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see those contrasted when the choice is made that you're choosing death. And so this first one is this. When you take the mark of the beast, you are making an unholy alliance. Remember that first one was you're making a holy alliance. Now this is an unholy alliance that you are choosing to worship Satan rather than worship God. Now I want to bring this scripture because I want to talk about in John 8. And this is what Jesus is saying to the Jews because he is confronting them with their sonship problem. Remember earlier we talked about in the first couple of verses that we talked about when we are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, that God brings us into that sonship with him. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. But now we see Jesus now confronting the Jews about where their sonship lies. And here's what it says. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. This is the very thing that contrasts the Holy Alliance. And what was happening is here's what God was saying, is that you're choosing to do the will of the enemy. So when you're doing that, the sonship you are choosing to worship him rather than worship me. And he's calling them out on their deeds. It's what they are doing. It's what they are saying, right? Remember we talked about earlier is that when the Holy Spirit is working through us to make us more like Jesus, we're called into the sonship of who he is. Here we see the direct contrast to that. And so we hear that it talks about lying. And so I want you to know really clearly this, that lying is Satan's primary weapon against God's people. Can you agree with me on that? That lying does that. He uses the tactic of deceit to separate people from their heavenly father, to make us think he's not good, to make us feel he is not faithful, to make us question whether he is still in control. And the enemy does that. The Apostle Paul calls Satan this in Corinthians 11, 14. He masquerades as the angel of light, that what he says and what he does sometimes sounds good. Yeah. It sounds right, but it is only a false appearance. That's who he is.
Yes. So we're looking at what an unholy alliance is, and our verse comes from Revelation 13. But we're going to need to look at some of 12 and 13 to see what's going on, to see who is who and what is what. So what are we seeing?
Listen, we're first going to be seeing a dragon in Revelation 12, and we're going to see two beasts. And so it's a beast from the sea and a beast from the earth. And so we're going to start with the dragon, and it tells us in Revelation 12, 9, who the dragon is. And it says, the great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels. So we see very clearly here that when Revelation refers to the dragon, they mean Satan.
Yeah. So we need to have our eyes wide open. You know, Satan blinds the eyes and the minds of those who don't believe. They're not even able to see. But we're going to see, okay? So Revelation 13, 1 introduces the beast out of the sea. And it says, he had seven heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns on its horns. Written on each head were names that blasphemed God. This beast looked like a leopard, had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. But this is what I want you to see. Verse 2 says, the dragon, which is who? Satan, gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast, this beast out of the sea, seemed wounded beyond recovery. But the fatal wound was healed, and the whole world marveled and gave allegiance to the beast. So listen to what we're saying. It was as if he was dead, but then he was alive. And Jesus in Revelation 1:18 says, I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. So the beast from the sea is masquerading as Christ. He is anti-Christ. The beast from the sea is anti-Christ.
So then we're going to move to Revelation 13, 11, and we're going to talk about the beast out of the earth. And so listen to this description in this verse, in these verses. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast and required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. Now, we see in this, we can remember, right, especially all throughout the New Testament, especially all in Paul's writings, we see that Christ warns us to watch out for false prophets. In fact, here's how he describes false prophets. You will see them in sheep's clothing. You see the reference here? That he seems like a lamb. But then in Matthew it says, but actually inwardly they are a ferocious wolf. And then we see here he spoke like that of a dragon. So he pretends to be something that he is not. And that is what is happening here. We're going to see this beast actually reestablish idolatry. We saw that really prevalent in the Old Testament, didn't we? And that we're going to see that play again. Even though idolatry, we still have idolatry today, right? It looks a little differently. But we're going to see them reestablish it like it was in the Old Testament. Because he's going to say, make a statue of this. Here we're going to see it when it happens that if you don't bow down to this, you will die. That you will give your life for that. And so here's what you have to remember when we get to this. If you have already chosen life, we are gone. We are raptured, right? Remember the plan, remember the protection. So we have to remember that what's happened is when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit steps back, right? He releases some of the control, right, that he has had over our earth. And what happens is it becomes this lawlessness that happens because we heard Satan is then thrown onto the earth to do as he pleases. Now, I want you to realize this as well. Satan knows the end of the story. He knows the end of the story. And so what he's going to do, he's going to do everything he can during this time to take as many people as he can with them by deceiving them and making them believe what is actually false would be their truth. Choose life, choose death.
Yes. So Stacy just said that he orders this beast from the earth, the false prophet, orders the people to make a statue of the first beast. And so here we are, then we're at our scripture in Revelation 13, 15 through 17. So we should be able to figure out what's going on here now. So he, which is the false prophet, was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast, the statue of Antichrist, commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or the forehead, and no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. So we see in verses 16 and 17 that the mark on the right hand or the forehead was required to buy or sell. So that blank, the mark of the beast, is required to buy or sell. That's your blank. So here we are with the mark of the beast. And when we know, which we know, that Satan is going to try to deceive, if possible, the elect. And we see our minds can just go all over the place with this mark of the beast. For one thing, I think we realize it could happen right now. Technologically, it could happen right now. In fact, we've seen it happen step by step by step. In the 70s, we started out with this product code. We got these barcodes going on. But now companies are using something called an RFID badge, which means a radio frequency identification badge. And that means when you put it on, they know where you are the whole time. They know where you are. They know what you're doing. But when you go home, you take it off, you put it down, and they don't know. You know, you've got some freedom there. But now they have come up with a chip the size of a grain of rice. And it can be implanted, they say, painlessly, under the skin. I've seen a picture where they put it right here between your thumb and your index finger. And I said this is coming, and one of the people in the morning said it's already happening in companies right now. And then I thought back about how we would pay in cash, we would pay with a credit card, we would pay with a credit card with a chip, and now it could be a chip implanted. And this is the question. 1900 years ago, how could they ever have guessed that we would have a one world economic system for commerce worldwide? How would that happen? But God, and this is the scripture, Isaiah 46, 9 through 10 says this, "Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." Aren't you glad he's a good God? And get this, the mark will require people to worship the beast. And so halfway in the tribulation, 3.5 years in, the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to take this statue, they're going to set it up in the rebuilt temple and require people to worship that statue. And here we've got 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Paul says this, "He, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God."
So as we have seen that being sealed by the Holy Spirit provides protection and enabling, we're going to go to our last fill-in, and it's this. The mark of the beast leads to wrath and destruction. And that last blank is there. It is wrath. And we have a couple of scriptures here that's in Matthew, and so it's talking about Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For a time is coming when everything that's going to be covered and be revealed. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul." I remember as a little girl, my nanny, that's my grandmother, always had a letter. And you know, this is way back then. I'm an old lady, right? It was where, and she would type it on her typewriter, and it sat on her kitchen. She had like this board where she had recipes and all that stuff, and it was thumbtacked there to the board, and this is what it said. "If you have missed the rapture, open this." And I remember just all throughout my years of growing up, I would always see that letter, and it kind of became stained with food, and it got dusty, and my nanny would always leave it there because she believed this thing right here, is that if you've missed the rapture, there's still hope for you, that God is still going to be merciful, because that's how he loves us, because his plan was always to save us.
Yes.
Wasn't it? He's always saying, "Oh, that you would choose life." But we see here, though, that if you take the mark of the beast, that it is going to be bringing wrath and deception and destruction. And so it says then the next slide, it talks about in Revelation 16, 2, that they broke out in sores, that those who took the mark actually broke out in sores. It sounds a little bit like the Egyptians, right? The 10 plagues of Egypt. We see kind of this almost replaying itself. And so being marked by the beast involves deception. And that's Revelation 19, 20. "Miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark." It's that sheep in wolf's clothing, right? That he will deceive and people will take the mark of the beast.
Yes. And finally, when you're marked by the beast, your eternal destination is hell. So let's see Revelation 14, 9 through 11. "Then a third angel followed them, shouting, 'Anyone who worships the beast and a statue or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will inherit the kingdom." You choose. Who will you worship? What destination will you choose? Will you make a holy alliance or an unholy alliance?
I think we have to ask ourselves then, what destination will you choose? Will you choose Christ and live with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth? Or will you reject Christ and accept the mark and be eternally damned into the fiery lake of burning sulfur? Because that's what the scripture says.
So, Stacy, what time is it?
Girls, I think the time is now. Do you believe that with me? Do you believe that the time is now? That we can look around in a world and we are quickly approaching the last days. You know, in the last days, here's what God says. God says, we see that in Joel, right? And what does he say? That I will pour out my spirit. And I believe we are living in the last days. And so I think this choice to choose life or choose death is a very prevalent thing that is going on right now. Because the enemy would like nothing more. He would like nothing more than you to choose anything but that. That's really what he would like. And what this is, here's what I need you to understand. Choosing life is not a get out of hell card. It's not. You can read Revelation, right? I've always laughed and said, man, when you preach Revelation, get ready for the altars to be full. But that's not what, when we say choose life or choose death, we are saying choose life because, yes, it leads to eternal life. But we're talking about choosing the life here and now, that being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it's a holy alliance. And we're given protection. And we're given an authentic walk and a relationship with him, right? And that he has a plan and a purpose for your life that is more than just eternal life. It is all of this life right here that you and I are living that God says, I love you, and I have put my seal upon you and put my Holy Spirit in you, and I've commissioned you. Remember when it said that? I've commissioned you, and I've called you, and I have said this is what it's for. So I think some of you could sit here tonight. Let me tell you what. We would be missing an opportunity if we don't give you the choice tonight, because the time is now. We will never get this day back. You're never going to get this time and this moment back right now. So the time is now. And we have to ask ourselves, have I chosen life? Because if you haven't chosen life by default, you've chosen death. And I get that's sometimes a hard thing to wrap our mind around, but that's what you've done. If you don't choose life, there's only one other option. And that is death. And I want you to think back to the words in Deuteronomy of God saying, oh, choose life. It was never part of my redemption plan for you to choose death. It has always been about saving you. It has always been about protecting you and putting my seal upon you and giving you a life. And I've always promised to be faithful and good, and I forgive you and I love you and I set a purpose and a plan. That's what God says. Oh, that you would choose life. But sometimes we don't. So would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Because I'm going to ask you this. Today, have you chosen life? And maybe you're sitting here and you're listening to this and you're realizing maybe I really haven't made that decision. I haven't made that choice to say, yes, I believe who Jesus is. In fact, I not only believe that he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, but I'm going to accept it and I'm going to move towards it. Because the time is now. Ladies, the time is now. Choose life or choose death. And Jesus is saying, he is knocking on the door of your heart, and he is saying, oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life. So if that is you today, and you go, I don't know if I've made that choice. I don't know if I've made that decision. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift up your hand? I'm just looking around. If that is you tonight, would you just lift your hand and say, I want to choose life. I want to make sure that eternity is secure. Thank you. That Jesus, right now, with you raising your hand, Here's what has happened. He's like, I'm now going to seal you with the promise of my Holy Spirit. And everything that we talked about in the beginning to choose life, it's yours. It's given freely because I gave my son freely on a cross to die for your sins so that you could choose life, so that you could choose eternal life. So here's what I'm going to ask today, ladies, is I'm going to say a prayer and I want everyone in the room to repeat it with me. And then I'm going to ask that those who raise their hand tonight, I'm just going to be over here in the corner, and I would love just to have a moment where I just talk with you personally. There's no need to be embarrassed. There's no. Can I tell you, we've all had to make the choice, right? Haven't all of us had to make the choice? So we rejoice with you. We celebrate with you what God is doing tonight. We have said, yes, Lord, the time is now. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Everybody say it. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I not only believe in you, I accept you into my heart. Tonight I choose your truth as my truth. I thank you for the promise of the seal of your Holy Spirit. So tonight, Lord, I choose life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And set me on a new path. In your name. Amen. Amen. You can look at me now. Can we celebrate? Can we celebrate tonight that people in this room made the choice to choose life? Because they understood the urgency. Now I'm going to ask you this. Would you guys all stand with me just real quickly? And here's how we're going to end. Because sometimes we can say, well, I've already chosen life. I've already made that choice. So I've chosen life. So, okay. So what is it now? Now it's about the Holy Spirit saying, I'm working inside you and I'm working through you. And I'm asking that you understand this concept. I'm asking that you understand my word. Because I believe that God's now saying that the Holy Spirit is going to work through you to reach out to those that are lost. Because eternity hangs in the balance, doesn't it? Eternity hangs in the balance. Here's what I don't want ever happening. I don't want to get to heaven. And I don't want to be standing there next to Jesus and someone that he is having to look at them and say, I don't know you. And for them to look over and say, but we knew Stacy. We knew her, like she's getting into heaven. We knew her. Can I tell you that's the worst thing that could happen? So that's what we do now. If you've already chosen life, we continue to choose it and we understand it and we grab hold of it and we start saying, then Holy Spirit, we understand eternity hangs in the balance. So you start giving us opportunities to look at people and to have conversations and to have moments to say, the time is now. You can choose life or you can choose death, but it's going to be one or the other. Because I'm telling you, if you pray that, the Holy Spirit's going to give you opportunity. He's going to be able to create, he's going to start conversations. He's going to open doors. And you're going to be able to say, you don't have to be scared. You don't have to not even read the book. Listen, let me tell you what it is. Because there's a God who loves you. And he has a plan. And he has a purpose. And he offers protection. And you can be in a holy alliance with him. Amen. Right? So if that's you tonight, here's what I want to ask you. If you've already chosen life, would you just simply just hold out your hands and just simply put them in front of you? Because I think this is a sign of surrender, isn't it? Of saying, use me, Holy Spirit. Work through me. Work through me with my friends that are lost. Holy Spirit, give me opportunities with my family that's lost. My children that are lost. My coworkers. People in my neighborhood, God, that they are going to hell because they are being deceived by the enemy. I think if we open ourselves up to that, we're going to watch how God is going to use us. Because here's what God says, I've already prepared you for it. So if you take a hold of it, then you watch me give you strength and courage and wisdom and the words to do that. So can I just pray for you tonight as we end tonight? And just sit there and hold your hands and you pray. Don't just listen to me. You pray and say, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. I've chosen life, and I want those that I love and that I'm around, I want them to choose life, because the time is now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth, Lord, that we can reach out and that we can take hold of. God, that we don't look at it as even your truth. We take it as our truth. And God, you have made promises to us as your children, and you've authenticated this relationship, and then you have set the Holy Spirit in us, and you have said he is going to work in us and through us to make us more like Jesus, so that when we are around others, people are going to see things inside of us, and they're going to see something that is different. They're going to watch us respond and react in different ways. They're going to watch us be joyful in times that we should be sorrowful. Lord, they're going to watch us have hope in where everybody else is hopeless, and they're going to see these things inside of us, and they're going to begin to ask questions. So God, I pray right now that we stand here right now, Holy Spirit. We stand here with our arms extended in surrender, and we say, use us. Flow through us, Holy Spirit. Use us to reach others. God, use us to be, commission us, Lord, to be your witnesses, to be your examples. Lord, I pray that you create opportunities and conversations, Lord, and that you begin to open doors. Holy Spirit, that we use discernment and wisdom in everything that we do. God, I don't care if we are at Walmart and we are in the checkout line and you tell us to pray for someone. God, I pray that boldness rises up in us. God, I pray that we become women that are courageous, because the time is now. It is either choose life or it is choose death, and there is nothing in between. So God, I pray that you start with us. Holy Spirit, that something just ignites in us tonight, and we recognize that you are calling us to set this before those that we love, to set this before our friends and our family and our coworkers and our neighbors, God, because we say yes. Tonight we make the choice and we say yes. God, I can't wait till they come to the end of this series and they begin to share the encounters, Holy Spirit, that you will give the women in this room. All the conversations where they're going to be able to sit in front of someone and say, the time is now. Choose life or choose death. And oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life. We thank you. We honor you. We praise you, Lord. In the mighty, powerful name of Christ, amen.